Hello everyone. It is a little strange for me to speak only to a microphone. But because of the current situation, we decided that it is necessary to suspend our Sunday worship at our church building, which we had never done before. But we would like to do the best we can, and recording and uploading my sermon is something I can do. So, I am doing this, and I hope this is spiritually beneficial and blessing to you. And obviously, English is not my first language, and my pronunciation and English expressions may sound strange, although I try my best. So, if you could bear with me, I would appreciate it very much. If you turn on TV or go to website of news media, it is impossible not to see a headline that says coronavirus or COVID-19. The coronavirus outbreak has impacted our lives and society in very significant ways. The outbreak of coronavirus has had impact on my life as well, of course, and I have been given opportunities to ponder a lot of things. For example, as one of the church leaders of the church, I needed to think about things like, what are we going to do with Sunday service? Should we stop gathering or should we still continue to gather in the church building? And last Sunday, after the service, we decided to suspend our worship at Ocharamis. But anyways, asking that kind of questions naturally made me reflect on the nature and the purpose of worship, asking myself, what does the kind of worship that is pleasing to God really look like? As you may know, I enjoy studying church history, so almost automatically I started looking for some historical documents that have to do with some kind of pandemics in the past. Especially I looked for something that shows us how Christians responded to pandemics in the past. I have found a few records, and one of them is an article appeared in the Churches of Christ magazine called World and Work in 1918. As you may know, 1918 is the year the Spanish flu spread and killed at least 17 million people all over the world. Sometimes it is said that more than 50 million people were killed, but we do not know the accurate number. Anyways, in an article titled The Epidemic and Meetings, contributed by J.N. Gardner, which appeared in the November 1918 issue of World and Work, he writes, quote, I think God wishes me to attend the Lord's Day meetings. But if there is a deed of mercy, which no other than I can do, and which can only be done at the hour of meeting, I believe I should do the deed of mercy. Unquote. And he goes on to ask, quote, what did the Savior mean when he quoted the scripture which say, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Unquote. In this article, Mr. Gardner, the writer of the article, does not directly discuss the Bible verses that include the quote, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. But by quoting what Jesus said, Mr. Gardner basically encourages the readers of the article to check their attitude or motivation behind their religious activities. So, what did Jesus mean when he said, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice"? Today, let's briefly take a look at one of the sections in the Bible that recalls Jesus saying, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." And then let's think a little bit about why we should temporarily suspend our Sunday assembly at our church building in this particular situation. The quote, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," originally appears in the Old Testament Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. So when Jesus said so, he quoted Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And actually, there are at least two occasions that Jesus quotes Hosea 6, 6. One of the places that Jesus quotes the Hosea 6, 6 is when Jesus called Matthew to follow him, recorded in Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. And the other verses that recalls Jesus quoting, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," is when Pharisees criticized the disciples because they were picking up heads of grain and eating on the Sabbath, recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, which is our verses today. So, let's briefly take a look at the second incident recorded in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say, "At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath.'" Jesus responded to the Pharisees by making basically three points in today's verses. First point Jesus made was, in the Old Testament times, David ate the consecrated bread. And second point Jesus made was, the priest worked on their religious responsibilities on the Sabbath. And third point Jesus made was, God says in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Let's look at these three points briefly. First point, in the Old Testament times, David ate the consecrated bread. In verse 3 of today's verses, and that is Matthew chapter 12, verse 3, he, that is Jesus, answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest." Here, Jesus is referring to an incident recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 3 to 6. Basically, at that time, David was fleeing from Saul, who was trying to kill him. So David was in a very difficult situation. He went to a priest, Ahimelech, and asked for something to eat. saying, "Give me some, give me 5 loaves of bread and or whatever you can find." Recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 4. And the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread," recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 5. So the priest gave the bread to David. To be exact, David was not really honest when he talked with Ahimelech, but Ahimelech gave the bread out of his mercy, trying to save David's life. I think this is important. Ahimelech was trying to save someone's life. And in Matthew chapter 12, by mentioning the incident, Jesus is basically saying that obeying God's law should not be done by the legalistic manner, and it is always in line with spirit of the law to do good, especially when someone's life is at stake. Jesus says in Mark chapter 2 verse 27, actually here Mark is recording the same incident, a disciples eating the head of grains. Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Let's move on to the second point Jesus made in today's verses. The priest worked on their religious responsibilities on the Sabbath. In addition to the incident of David and Ahimelech, Jesus points out the duties of priests on the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 5, he says, "Haven't you read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple discredit the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" You know, on the Sabbath, you can't walk at all. A few years ago, I was given an opportunity to visit Israel, the Holy Land, and I saw elevators called Shabbat elevators. A Shabbat elevator is a normal elevator except for Saturdays. On Saturdays, Shabbat elevators stop each and every floor of the building. On each and every floor of the building, the door of a Shabbat elevator opens and closes, so that you don't have to push the button of the elevator, and that way you don't have to walk. Pushing the button of the electronic machines are considered as work in the conservative Jewish society. Going back to what Jesus was saying, people were not supposed to walk on the Sabbath, but there was an exception. Priests were allowed to do their duties associated with sacrifices. Priests were allowed to do their duties on Sabbath because their duties were associated with the temple worship, which is to glorify God. If priests did nothing on the Sabbath, the people of Israel could not glorify God. So, we can see that the Sabbath is not simply about us enjoying resting, rather it is about refocusing on God and sacrificing our time and mind to God, staying away from the earthly things and seeking what is pleasing to God. The priest's special duties on the Sabbath were to glorify God at temple, which was supposed to be pleasing to God, And that's why priests were allowed to do their duties on the Sabbath. Let's move on to the third point Jesus made in our verses today. God says in Hosea chapter 6 verse 6, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Finally, Jesus quotes Hosea 6 6. In Matthew 12 verse 7, Jesus says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. It seems that the quote from Hosea 6 6 summarizes the previous two themes we have already looked. That is David's incident and priest duty on Sabbath. In David's incident, Ahimelech tried to save David's life, and we were able to see it is always in line with the spirit of the law to do good, especially when someone's life is at stake. Also, priest duty on Sabbath indicated that the Sabbath is not just about enjoying rest, but it is about sacrificing our time and mind to God. So in both cases, people needed to ask themselves, how can we truly please God? And what God wants us to offer is not just the forms of our religious activities, but God wants us to offer. What God wants us to offer is mercy, Jesus says. In the fall of 1918, about 100 years ago, a very bad flu called the Spanish flu spread all over the world and caused many serious problems. Church activities were also affected by the pandemic, and many churches were ordered to cancel Sunday worship. It seems that the majority of churches follow the order and cancel Sunday worship, but I'm sure canceling Sunday worship was not an easy decision. I am sure many people wondered what they should do. The article from Word and Work, which I mentioned earlier, is one of the examples of that. Once again, the author of the article writes, quote, I think God wishes me to attend the Lord's Day meetings, but if there is a deed of mercy, which no other than I can do, and which can only be done at the hour of meeting, I believe I should do the deed of mercy. Unquote. Another example, J.C. McCready, one of the editors of Gospel Advocate magazine, wrote in response to the 1918 pandemic. Quote, but Christians have not felt that God required them to meet upon the first day of the week when any of their family or loved ones were seriously sick. Especially, they have not felt called upon to leave them and meet with the disciples on the first day of the week, if thereby they would jeopardize the lives of members of not only their families, but the families also of many other people. Unquote. So, what is McCready basically saying? I think, in short, he is saying, be merciful. If It is obvious that a gathering of a large assembly contributes to the spread of the flu. And if staying home, social distancing would be helpful to slow down or stop the spread of the flu. McCready says, we probably should not meet. By not meeting physically, we can not only protect ourselves, but also help many other people, especially those who need medical support more than us. In a very extraordinary situation, the choice of not meeting could be a merciful act toward other people. About 2 weeks ago, there was a press conference in Illinois, and there, Dr. Emily Landon, an expert of infectious disease, spoke. I would like to share the part of her speech. By the way, the speech was delivered about 2 weeks ago, and things have been changed even since then in America. But I think what she said is still true, especially to the current situation in Japan. She says, quote, by the way, she is talking about coronavirus. Quote, and it tricks you into believing that it's nothing more than a little influenza. For many of us, it may not be much more than the flu. And so, it could be very confusing as to why schools are closed, restaurants are shuttered. And now, the virus is taking what's left of our precious liberty. But the real problem is not the 80% who will get over this in a week. It's the 20% of patients, the older, those that are immunocompromised, those that have other medical problems who are going to need a bit more support, some oxygen or maybe a ventilator, life support. We do amazing things like this to save patients in our American hospitals and across the world every single day, but we can't take care of everyone at once. And we can't keep that low mortality promise if we can't provide the support that our patients need. Unquote. And I'd like to skip down to the conclusion of her speech. She continues to say, quote, public health and hospitals have been working hard for a long time, and now it's your turn to do your part, a huge sacrifice to make, but a sacrifice that can make thousands of differences, maybe even a difference in your family too. Unquote. Due to the extraordinary situation, Ochanomizu Church has decided to suspend the Sunday worship in our church building. But this does not mean we stop worshiping God at all. In fact, we suspend the physical gathering at Ochanomizu because we want to worship God by being merciful toward others, especially those who are weak physically, not only in our church, but also in our local communities. Jesus has said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. And Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true and proper worship. In Romans 12, verse 1. We do not necessarily have to worship in the church building, obviously. And in fact, many Christians in the first century worshipped in their homes. Of course, many of us want to worship in our church building. But for the people who need medical support more than us, and for the medical workers who are already put in a very difficult situation due to the incredibly large number of patients, I think it is time for us to give up on the physical meeting in the church building. We want to be merciful to our neighbors. And that way, we glorify God. And before I close this message, I would like to add this. What if our Savior was a legalist like a Pharisees? What if our Savior was a legalist like the Pharisees? Then we were hopeless. We would have never been saved. We were saved because of God's mercy, which made the cross of Jesus possible. As Paul says, it is by grace you have been saved. And now we are called to share God's mercy with others in this world. We hope and pray that this difficult situation becomes better soon. We also pray for God's wisdom and guidance so that whatever the situation is, we can act as the salt of the earth and the light of the world, sharing God's love and mercy with others in this world. Please pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this new day. Thank you for all the blessings that we have been given from you. And most importantly, thank you for Jesus, who was sent to this world to die on the cross for our salvation. Without your mercy, we are helpless. Today, we are worshiping you in a different way at our own places. May our worship be pleasing to you. Please help us to grow strong spiritually so that we can serve you and serve others in better ways. Also, at this moment, we pray that ask for your wisdom and guidance as we fight against the coronavirus pandemic, which is causing so many problems all over the world. We pray for those who are suffering from the illness, and we pray for their recovery from the illness. We also pray for doctors, nurses, and scientists, and the leaders of the countries and the local communities. Please help them and guide them so that we can get over this situation wisely. Please help us to reflect your love in this world, especially at a difficult time like now. Please be with us, protect us, and bless us as we start a new week. We pray these things in the precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.